Hey Zookeepers, it's one of the Kaiju Hollywood bad boys, Brandon, here to say we saw it, the new Godzilla film. That's right, we're talking Godzilla X Kong : The New Empire with metaphysical past guest Ian Erickson. It's a scorcher. I'm just going to say that. This is a real fun episode, so we're just going to get to it. But as always, if you like what you hear, rate and review us on whatever podcast application you got us off of. You can always email us at podzookipodcast@gmail.com. We check it semi-often, but anything you send, we'll read on air. And yeah, word of mouth always helps us a ton. Hope you enjoy this, and we're talking big ol' mean kaiju boys. All right, love you.
Render unto Ghidra what is Ghidra's. 10 to 1 he sees you through a beaker and a tweezers. Read the fine print and be like, what's the big deal? Spun wheels of steel since broke wheel, big wheel. Back when it was greasy ass curl, now it's easy dread. Had a rhyme on how to use to tease him about his peasy head. Yes, yes, y'all to the beat.
Have a I mean, are they all like, were all the accents real? Because there were a lot of inscrutable accents in this movie.
Dan Stevens is from a European place. I'm trying to remember the European place he's from.
And this is Trapper.
Just says he's an English actor.
Ugh, gross.
Born in...
He was playing English in this movie, though, right?
He was.
Yeah. What about the Australian lady who's in charge of Monarch?
Or she's English, too. Rebecca Hall,
yeah,
the main lady.
So that was not her actual accent?
No. That's not... The lady who's in charge of Monarch, not our main character.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Like, it was stupid.
Yeah, she was... I think it's New Zealand.
The really... Yeah. You know, yeast. Squeaky wing.
Yeast. What the...
Oi, no.
Oh, no.
Oi,
oh,
no.
Oi,
no.
Oh, no.
Oi, no.
Vegemite all up in my craw.
Where
the fuck?
Shrimp on the Barbie.
So you've played Knifey Spoon before? It's such a great Simpsons episode.
It all goes back to Simpsons.
It all goes back to the Simpsons.
This is
Simpsons all the way down.
So they don't have the actual like plot written down here, so I don't know how to identify whoever the Australian
Glass
person
ladies.
Was.
Oh, I think I know who that is. I think that is Rachel House.
Rachel House.
Hampton.
Hampton. Okay.
The character.
New favorite, Zealand. I knew it.
Favorite character, Hampton.
She is. She was born in Auckland, New Zealand.
But also, I mean, I guess the accent was kind of inscrutable. Mostly, she was just a terrible actor.
Yeah.
And she was in charge of Monarch, right?
Yeah.
But, and who is the main character?
Hampton?
Dr. Andrews.
Dr. Andrews.
Was she in the other movies?
Yeah.
Who was she?
Rebecca Hall?
Yeah, was she...
I don't know if I'm... I guess she was in The Town. I don't really know if I know her super well, though.
Yeah.
Because the last...
She was definitely in Godzilla vs. Kong.
She was.
Well, the last two movies focused on, like, Kyle Chandler and Millie Bobby Brown. And whoever.
That's my favorite thing to do is when I'm walking around the house by myself is say Millie Bobby Brown in a French accent.
Hey, did we introduce
Podzuki? We've not yet because we were...
Well, that's that. I don't know.
We're having we're having an emergency Podzuki recording. I had a newborn child 3 weeks ago and I thought I was going to wait a little bit before getting back. But then
cue the booing sound effects.
Boo! I have two kids now, but Barb, my wife and partner, told me that we should be grounded as a podcast because we had not done the new Godzilla film and we started off as a Godzilla Kaiju podcast. So she told me to literally see if her sister could babysit tonight so we could get out and watch it. Because we also have you on a deadline since you're busy this week. And then,
I'm biking to Milwaukee tomorrow.
We record, by the way, we're based in Milwaukee, so it's really not impressive. No, we're in Chicago. People know that. I don't know.
If that weren't obvious.
Yeah. Hot dog.
We're always constantly eating Italian dips.
Well, I thought the movie, you could have when they poured the ketchup in the pool
and everybody booed.
Yeah. Well, I think that was actually a nice kind of show of respect. They're pouring the ketchup, so can't get on the hot dog.
Yeah. And then when they put the mustard on,
is that like the payday bar in the pool from Caddyshack, but like. Somebody had their period in the pool.
Yeah, it just affects gravity.
Okay, that scene bothers me in Caddyshack when they drain the pool because even though it is a payday, it's still been in the pool all day.
It's still gross that he ate it. Still Bill Murray.
Yeah.
You kids don't know that. You know, but your grandparents love it.
Yeah, it's true. It's the inverse of...
yeah, the reverse of...
The Back to the Future. Yeah. Oh, anyways, this is Podzuki, America's worst starting podcast. we started good sometimes, but not today. Oh. I'm sorry.
Lots of good things have, like, a cold open.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we're just, the early era of Pete Holmes, where he made it weird, where he talked about some stupid shit for 14 minutes and then got into New Age healing. Anyways, this is America's only podcast about monster movies. No other movies podcasts exist. I'm one of your Kaiju Hollywood bad boys, Brandon Kirkman.
I'm another Kaiju Hollywood bad boy, Luke Evans Flip.
I'm your third Hollywood Kaiju bad boy, Martin Felschman, and we've got a special guest today, a returning guest and good friend. Everyone give it up for Ian Erickson.
Thank you. It's good to be a returning guest for the first time.
Yeah.
I really feel like we had you on at some point.
No, well, I mean...
We've done some... I feel like we've done
nobody
something.
Nobody knows. This is going to be like...
I'm going to Google lore. Ian Erickson, Podzuki.
Yeah, bring up the Podzuki.
We do have some lost episodes.
We do.
You know, I'm going to say you did one of our lost episodes.
Okay, all right.
We did four episodes of Muppet
Babies. I did one of the episodes that got lost in the Hollow Earth.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's
did
so
we
true.
Really do four episodes of Muppet Babies?
Yes, with Ian.
Muppet Babies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to Podzuki and it has crossed out Ian Erickson for Machine Culture, so that's a no. Okay, I'm going to look at all the other podcast projects I've done. No, I shouldn't do that. Let's just get into it. So we've had you mentally on the show before, but not physically or actually in real life.
No, but spiritually in between as well. But this, yeah, it's good to be returning from the lost episodes and to be here now physically
in person
and mentally as well. I'm always here in a way. I'm always leaving my mark.
It makes one of us.
I mean if there's two people in a room to worship Ian, he's there in presence. I think it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
What's your relationship to Godzilla films and big monster films? How do you feel about
it? I like them a lot. I think I am I've never identified as like a fanboy of them, but like, you know, I think I saw the American Godzilla, a movie that we all are really like and consider good.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely saw that, and then I think after that I saw Godzilla 2000, but I think I was just like a little
Godzilla 2000 so fucking good.
Yeah, well, I think I was at an age where I was like still kind of like spoon-fed the Hollywood treatment, so I'm like,
it was a different world back then when like you couldn't just Google Godzilla,
right?
And like you had to ask Jeeves. Even like with Google and ask Jeeves, like Wikipedia didn't exist yet, yeah. So there wasn't just like
it's funny
a repository we've gone... of in the Encyclopedia Britannica didn't have that shit on it,
right? But you know, I actually remembering back to like I must have been maybe. Like preschool or kindergarten, but we have like a little Godzilla toy. I remember like early 90s, there was probably a wave of like Godzilla before, like leading up to the movie, but even before then too. Because I knew who Godzilla was, and we had this little toy with like a little red button that you press, and he had the claws, and you make that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good Godzilla. We should have our guests do Godzilla sets more often.
I mean, that was one of our games before.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've had the podcast around for too long. No one would describe it any other way at this point.
But, you know, I guess I saw Kong versus Godzilla during the pandemic, and I'm like, this is fun. This is, like, dumb fun. It's not perfect, but it's, like...
Mm-hmm. I think the pandemic's when we started doing this series of movies, because we did Skull Island first, right?
Yeah.
We did do like the day it came out, the Godzilla King of the Monsters, but we hadn't done
it. That was before Skull Island.
That was before. No, yeah, it was before.
No, it was after.
It was at. I don't know. I should look it up.
Kong Skull Island did happen first. Godzilla King of the Monsters happened after that.
That's the second Godzilla movie.
Yes. Yeah, the one after Godzilla 2016.
And we just never did the Bryan Cranston one.
Yeah, no.
Was the Bryan Cranston one the first one of this Godzilla?
Yeah, is they called the legendary
series.
It's
also, we can't call it the Bryan Cranston one. He's not in it for very long.
I mean, yeah.
But he was marketed heavily that he was like going to be
Bryan Cranston's Breaking Bad.
If you say it, people know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
No one's gonna know. No one cares about
anybody who had any awareness of it. Like my mother and father wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But
But yeah, it's the movies. I think you touched on a point we've made a lot. They're stupid, but I think they seem to be getting more and more stupid.
They're embracing the stupidity more.
And it's good. I think it's... Yeah. Because the first one, the Godzilla one with Bryan Cranston, which we haven't reviewed, but we'll get to eventually, it's not a bad film, but they try to make it too serious, and you're like, I want to see these monsters cook a little bit more.
It's definitely... coming from what I remember seeing, like, the trailers and the promo for that one, and then seeing what it has become and what this is, it's like... It seems like, yeah, they were trying to do, like... I'm not, like, a Dark Knight... But I think Hollywood was still in the kind of, like, gritty, like, sort of realism.
Yeah.
Like, some sort of, like, grounded in some reality. And this is just, like, if I was on mushrooms, I would probably think this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, even getting high for this, I think, would have been nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, we'll wait to get into the reviews later, but I mean, I think we're all going to agree this is beautifully a stupid film. Like,
yeah.
It's just... Oh, yeah. It's like a dumb guy who makes a perfect script somehow, I feel like, of, like, just, like, hammering away every stupid, like, little reference he has to, like, I like this from the cop movie where they have a big gun, and he made this, so, but it's perfect. I was gonna say, though, with all of the Godzilla stuff we were talking, though, I think the getting away from the gritty kind of surface tone like they had in the early, what, teens to now... It's a lot better for the series. And they also kept putting the Joker in everything, too, and I didn't like that either. Because Godzilla 2014 famously does have the Joker in it, too. He was just really popular during that time period.
What was he doing?
He was kind of telling us that we live in
fighting society. Batman.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think that's what the Joker does?
He saw what Godzilla was doing when everybody said, that's really scary. He said, that's really cool.
That's normal to me.
Yeah, that's like a normal everyday
Godzilla's
thing.
Godzilla's a normal citizen to
yeah.
me.
We should all be more like Godzilla, is what he said.
You want to sell a movie, put a Batman in it.
Mm. Yeah, well, you think that's true, but how come there's a Joker 2 coming out? I don't think he's going to even be in it.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Do you think Batman's going to be in Joker 2?
He was in the first one?
Yeah.
But he's not Batman.
Well,
he's the little kid.
He's there.
Yeah. I'm talking full Batman suit. That's what you need to talk about in Godzilla times Kong, the new empire. Well, I don't... Okay, I guess we could start getting into talking about the film and we could stop trying to make stupid jokes.
I think King Kong would be Batman and Godzilla would be Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither of them are Joker-fied.
No, the bald red gorilla, it would maybe be kind of Joker-esque. He has kind of Joker-esque qualities.
Yeah. He thinks it's funny when people are actually sad.
Are there any supervillains who specifically use a whip?
I mean, Poison, or not, it's
Catwoman.
Poison Ivy probably is like a whip thing she does with plants.
I would like to call him
Catwoman. Catwoman is, actually. So he's kind of more Catwoman adjacent.
Yeah.
He's like an evil cat.
But he uses the end of the thing kind of like a... He slashes with it, but not necessarily like a knife, but that's
what it's called. I thought he was going to do more slashing with it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I derailed this.
Yeah,
They're both, in my opinion, kind of both sexy, too.
There is a lot to talk about, though, because there is a lot of plot.
Yeah, surprisingly.
There's kind of two plots that kind of go on concurrently. There's the smelly, boring human subplot that nobody cares about. And then there's King Kong's odyssey that he goes on.
I'm going to save it for reviews, but if I can give any credit to this film, instead of having 18 branching human stories, they did just stick with one.
They did stick with one. That was great. I think it really helped the film. I'm pulling up just for all the names and the actors, too, but like... The main person, our Dr. Hall, or no, her name, sorry, Dr. Andrews, played by Rebecca Hall. I put them together. I feel like she wasn't annoying, and I think she was a good actor, but she literally was, I'm exposition woman. Like, I'm all every scene.
The opening credits of the movie, it is like a very efficient way to get set up the status quo for the series of movies for anybody who like hasn't seen them or just needs a reminder.
It was really funny to see all the different like news being like, is Godzilla okay? Godzilla's living in the Earth. Inside the Earth is where Godzilla lives. Or
inside a hollow Earth is where Godzilla lives.
And
up
we
on Earth
found
is where
hollow
Godzilla.
Earth is actually very interesting and it's very related to outside Earth. And that's actually crazy.
Yeah.
But this is what's normal for us.
I'm gonna take it back. Like instead of saying
it's exactly
this is like
the Lost World movies.
Yeah. Very Lost World-esque.
But my opinion on this film is not like a stupid guy made a perfect script. It's more like that perfect age of
this script is far from perfect.
I mean for what it is, I think it's pretty good. It's more like a kid who's just like stream of consciousness telling you a story they're making up. You know, like if the ex-cop person wasn't racist and terrible and it was good. I don't know if you guys know about it, but the ex-cop guy was really racist.
Well, he's the ex-cop guy.
Yeah, the one that had the younger sibling that took it and then made
not
the story.
Not the younger sibling?
Not the younger. Well, let me find out. Okay. You guys keep discussing, I'm going to say ex-cop.
Well, I feel like the way I picture this movie getting made is they did the first round of stuff in the first Kong vs. Godzilla. And this is like, okay, what? How do we elevate? We did KVG. Mm-hmm. What did we not do in the first one that we elevated? It's like, okay, robotic arm. Let's get an augmented thing for King Kong. The final fight, it should be gravity fight. It should be zero G gravity fight.
Oh, we need a monkey short round.
We need a monkey short round for sure. We definitely need a monkey short round.
You bring that up, I find it interesting because Godzilla does kind of pull a Temple of Doom. They go to the place in literally the middle of the Earth, so Middle Earth is basically Mordor, where all the other King Kongs live. And I think the idea was supposed to be early on in the middle of the Earth, for Hollow Earth, is that what we should call it?
Yeah, well, this is like the inner bit of Hollow Earth. I want to call it Hollower Earth.
Yeah.
The Uncharted Lands.
That's it. Thank you.
Because yeah, there's like an earthquake.
It was the subterranean layer or something. And then Colin just let us know that this is a new part of Hollow Earth.
Uncharted.
Yeah, Uncharted.
We should begin at the beginning, which is Kong is on. It is in Hollow Earth where he went to at the end of the last movie. He's lonely.
Yeah, well, he's having a chase sequence. That's how we see him.
So
a bunch of fucked up dogs.
And that shows us that he's a tricky motherfucker. He likes to set traps.
I put in my phone and I was taking notes is that he likes to do a lot of ape tricks.
Yeah.
What's Fred from Scooby-Doo's last name?
Jones.
Fred Doo.
He's the Fred Jones of gorillas. He sets up so many traps.
Was Freddy the trap guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well, he was. Wasn't it more like accidentally they'd always trigger traps?
Well,
He wanted to set them up.
Scooby and Shaggy would usually mess up the trap, but then they would still catch the monster anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
Is that a
comment on society?
Sure.
I'm too stupid to understand Scooby-Doo now I think about it. Because it kind of is fucked up that they would always fuck up their trap, but it'd still work out. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Did Fred always, like, the account for that? Did he know that... Like Fred or that Shaggy and Scooby were going to be making a big sandwich in the ghost kitchen.
Yeah,
and that
they would trip over.
They would trip over. The ghosts would run into them.
I just think they don't remember their past lives. They're always getting to a new town. Don't remember the last week when they did basically the exact same thing.
Yeah,
damn, that's a sick kind of purgatory.
Yeah.
Do you think the Joker wrote that? I guess I'm bringing back the Joker.
I mean, the Joker's been on an episode of Scooby-Doo. At least one.
Yeah, he has.
Oh, at least two in the celebrity ones.
Scooby-Doo original movies.
That's it.
Probably in between when they met Sandy Duncan and Mama Cass.
Yeah. Who died from a drug overdose, by the way. She didn't die from choking on a ham sandwich. It's a mean thing to say. She died from drug overdose.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
What is the sweeter drug than a ham sandwich?
Listen, you're so right. I'm sorry, we shouldn't be doing this to Mama Cass. It's sad that she passed away that way still.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going to get a lot of hate from the Mama Cass.
Yeah, for some reason, Mom and the Papa fans all came to this podcast.
This is Podzuki. We are the number one Mama Cass podcast.
It is funny to imagine that we have like a ton
Mama
of...
Mama Cast.
That's a good one. But it is funny, imagine we have a bunch of boomer listeners that are big Mama and Papa fans, and we've said so many leftist things, and this is the thing that pisses them off.
Or what about the Mamas and the Podcasts?
Oh, that's good.
Damn, you should have a Mamas and Papas podcast.
I'll have to start
listing those names off.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So, King Kong's being chased.
Okay.
Lizard pigs. Dinosaur pigs, but anyway, like
I think there's a little bit of rat in there too.
Sets off some traps.
They were dogs
to catch him or to destroy him, and then he still can't get rid of all of them. So he has a big show of strength. He just rips one in half and
covers
up
himself in goo.
Yeah, covers himself in green goo.
When this movie wins a Kids' Choice Award, that's the clip they're gonna show. They're gonna show King Kong getting slimed.
Yeah,
I mean that was probably the first time I laughed and smiled and. The movie.
Well, they did I feel like they kind of set a Freddy trap for us where early on there was a lot of like goo because wasn't there a Godzilla fight where he
got gooed up too.
He got pretty gooed up too.
Yeah, and they really only did it those two times.
This is a very goo forward movie.
Literally is very goo positive.
Once again, I feel like this would be a great film for a Nicholas Kid's Choice or any type of child watching it. They'd love it. I also did look up Malachi Nicolay, who is the brother of Ethan, hasn't done anything since ASCAP. His brother Ethan, who wrote it, though, is working for the Daily Wire right now. So,
oh, cool.
He's doing good. Definitely not a piece of shit who's terrible. He is, that's the joke. I'm pulling up the name of the Godzilla monster that he killed that got him covered in goo right now as well. I gotta keep this wiki up, man. There's too much. It's like you guys said, there's a lot of plot points for a really dumb film,
I feel like. If there is a name for it, it's just gonna be called Fucked Up Dog or something.
Yeah.
I also wish with Kong doing all the tools, I would love to see like a couple 2001 references of like.
Ooh, that would have been
good. I mean, we're already there with him knowing the tools or whatever, but like, I feel like there are a lot of opportunities with the Ape Society for the like. You know, one of them's picking off a bone and they're smashing like a rib cage.
Oh, yeah,
and
no. There should have been a giant monolith somewhere.
That would make sense. Maybe, like, there's a race of monoliths that live in Hollow Earth or the uncharted lands.
Fuck. Yeah, they don't have a name for the fucked up dog pig things, but they do. The giant spider squid thing he's fighting was called Scylla or Cilia. It's a pretty good name. I like Cilia.
Yeah, it's Cilia.
That's a Cilia looking creature. Mm-hmm. You got Goot up there. Getting all the names of other things, too, as we go. I remember that they have that giant underwater monster called Tiamat now, which is a fun reference to Dragon God.
I feel like Godzilla's plot is he's just on an international tour of, like, destroying different little cities in Europe.
I mean, the talking about the script, it really is everything sort of written to make sure everybody comes together, not organically, but, like Kong having the fucked up tooth. Mm-hmm. He's only got that so he can come through the portal the first time to get the humans into his plot.
That's not entirely true. He also has the fucked up tooth because he doesn't brush.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good lesson for kids to learn.
They're going to learn that they love seeing things get gooped on, that they need to brush their teeth, which I think is really great. They also introduce a lot of the human characters of why it's all going on. Zuko, which is the one adopted daughter of the one Dr. Andrews.
And she's got the headband so that you know she's native.
Yeah.
which I wrote
down she's from the headband tribe, which is how I'm going to remember them.
It's a very... This movie feels like very 90s blockbuster.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. But I say in a very complimentary way. Almost like a last action hero of like...
Yeah.
It's aware of itself, but it also wants to be dumb and it's enjoying it, which I think is good.
Well, kind of trying to be like an Amblin movie almost.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. We got the other characters, Trapper, like we said. What's the relationship of Trapper to Dr. Andrews?
Were they dated brothers? In college, yeah, it seems to be.
College, I
believe. Yeah. Did they say that?
They infer it.
Where she talks about him. You become a vet and you become an original, unique kind of vet. And he's like, oh, somebody in college tried to get me to like settle down, but... Trapper can't be trapped.
I wanted to. He didn't say that, but he should. Shirts and listening to music.
Yeah, be the most 90s character ever.
And he was really annoying. I felt like they just really wanted him to be like, just. I mean, they even call him Ace Ventura, but like his whole like the iconography of his costuming is just all like Ace Ventura, but he's like also kind of Matthew McConaughey and like
McConaughey definitely
of, like, just trying to be like
the rugged scientist,
but also like so he has such respect for life he wouldn't even let a Hollow Earth mosquito it's like that thing could give you like space malaria or something.
Hollow Earth malaria? No, thank you.
He's got underground Zika for sure.
Oh yeah. Michael Bay definitely. Movies like the like Armageddon and shit. This has made me think a lot about his movies from the early 2000s because very much we're like they're a scientist but they're like rugged and they
like Sahara is one of those films that exists and it just feels like it's made up.
Yeah,
there's like an example of what his character is
and before the reconnaissance, like 10 years before the reconnaissance.
Still going strong right now in my opinion. I do like with Trapper he's introduced as like a titan veterinarian, which is a fun concept. Later on in the film too, Kong gets his fist fucked up, and I thought he really was gonna like amputate it and then just replace it with like teeth.
That would have been cooler to have like spoiler, Kong gets a robot arm, but it's really more of like a robot exoskeleton part for his arm.
I thought it would have been cooler. Okay, this is once again we're going ahead of the plot, but we get to the Scar King, which is like the big villain of this film, which is like a bigger, lankier like Kong guy. But he's evil. He likes enslaving people.
It's kind of like if King Louis were skinny.
Yeah, that's a good way to look
like. That's a wonderful descriptor.
Yeah. They also have Kratos makeup on.
Yeah, all of the fucking gorillas in Hollow Earth are not doing great. Like, no. They all have, like, scars. They're all bald, too.
They all look like different versions of Bill Doughtree from King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of have that shape and balding.
And they do the kind of orc thing where it's like they make them a lot uglier than King Kong, so it's like... The handsome gorilla, he's our good guy.
Yeah, I guess they're just really handing huge stones back and forth to each other. I can't.
They should have showed one ape structure they were building at least.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they weren't. Were they mining? Like, what? And also, there's like.
What if he's like a really dumb king? Like, there's bananas here. I know there's bananas down in this cave. Well,
I think a theme of the movie is King Kong wanting companionship.
Oh, yeah, he's lonely. He's a social creature.
Once again, Dr. Andrews there, literally, to anything that you think a dumb guy in the audience would get, she will explain it to
and
you.
Yeah, apparently another ape that lived long ago, the Scar King, somehow ended up even further in the Hollow Earth.
Well, he was banished down there by Godzilla they got to the hieroglyphics.
Is that what the story was? Because I thought it was so weird that... What is the name of the natives? I don't want to say Indian.
Oh,
but...
the Pee Wee Hermans.
The Iwis.
Iwis.
Oh, I also got the character's name up. Gia is the name of her daughter that she's adopted. Suko's the little Kong baby that we get later on. I don't want to get a mix up because I do love Suko. I'm going to explain why because it's not your usual Baby Yoda formula, which I really like. But they all end up, I should say, to set up where we are, too, is they end up with Bernie, who's the one guy from the last film, the podcast dude.
Yeah,
he's a little more
racist, kind of racist role.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit more enjoyable in this film than
he's Godzilla maybe just a Godzilla. Bit of a buffoon.
Yeah.
They definitely got him in as the dumb guy. And, like, I feel like they kept his character pretty much the same from
guess that is true. That's what I kept kind of reminding myself anytime I thought, like, he's pretty much exactly the way he was before. Even though in a world where, like... Godzilla publicly attacked a monster in Rome. Mm-hmm. And why he's still hosting a conspiracy podcast.
Why that wouldn't either take up or like why it's a conspiracy. Because it seems like everyone in the world has adapted pretty quickly to there being...
Yeah.
Godzilla just will destroy the Roman Colosseum. He'll sleep in the Roman Colosseum
and seem
like a big cat bed.
Once again, the news cycle they show at the beginning, they make it seem like people are excited about this. Like, you know, he's on the side of good. They don't explain, like, how that's true, because it seems like he just destroys the city, and everybody's like, he's a good guy.
Well, there you see, like, people so close to the monsters fighting anytime they're fighting in the city, so thousands die.
Yeah, or there's, like, one part at the end when they, like, just rip up a building and throw it. Yeah, I think you see some people, it's like,
they destroy the pyramids of Giza.
I think it's a commentary that the world's so used to American imperialism that Godzilla himself just goes other places and destroy it in the name of good that people are like, well, America does that, so he's a good guy, too. I mean, come on. It is a lot of stupid stuff like that, but I think having the world be as stupid as the writing is kind of good too. Like, I enjoy that. It seems to make sense to me.
Kong gets bum rushed by some of the apes from hell.
Oh yeah, the ground opens up at some point and he goes down deeper to investigate because he's like, oh, this crater wasn't here before. And then he goes into the hollower part of the Hollow Earth.
Okay, so that's why I thought the apes were coming out of it. Happened to, oh, hey, there's that guy. Because I couldn't figure out why the bad apes, quote unquote, were on a reconnaissance mission or whatever. Why they weren't in Mordor with the Scar King.
It is weird they were like 100 miles away and they just happened to be where Kong was.
Yeah. You know?
It's a happy accident, I think.
It is. No, this movie is full of happy accidents.
It is. And once again, we're introduced to Suko there. And I thought it was going to be like this annoying, like kind of like baby character that's falling in love with Kong, but
he starts out as an asshole.
Right.
And that's why.
And I like that. The reason I really like how they treat him is that Kong also treats him back like an asshole.
Because, he comes up all doughy-eyed and you think, oh, it's a cute little baby King Kong. Yeah.
But then he
attacks him.
He attacks him, and he's kind of like, I feel like, a scout for the other apes coming. Mm-hmm. But I like that when that happens, he instantly grabs Suko and starts using him as a baseball bat against the others.
Yeah.
Just whips him around.
And that's when I fell in love with this film, was that scene exactly.
Same. I was looking forward to King Kong doing that again.
Yeah, he should have, but... I mean, you know what? Suko earns his place as the film goes, I feel like, so...
Yeah, when you get to giant ape hell, Yeah. And you see the conditions, like, again, just passing giant, probably really hot stones back and forth to each other.
Yeah. And it's, once again, digging for bananas. I like that this film is, once again, Kid Logic, is they don't ever really have Kong or Godzilla lose a fight, because even with the ape party, he escapes from there. Because they want to be like, listen, Kong's too strong, you can't capture him, so he's going to do this on his own terms.
Well, you have to pull a retreat.
Yeah.
He got jumped by the ice dragon.
Although...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, the Scar King has a kaiju pet that he controls with a crystal, which we ever know what the crystal
is. They don't
explain
that. They just say he controls him with pain.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of a stupid film is you can have something like that and it just makes sense in the world and you don't need to explain it. Like,
they shine through hieroglyphs and it's just like... And Scar uses the crystal to control the... Ancient Titan.
It was also
that brought upon the Ice Age.
It was also specific about stuff that was going on like now.
Right.
Even though it was, you assume these hieroglyphics were made hundreds of years ago at least.
Something like that.
I'm realizing talking about the storytelling, it's like a horseshoe theory of both amazing writing that's masterfully done, don't over explain the world. But if you go all the way to the other end, extremely stupid films that are fun or extremely stupid stories that are terrible but good do the same thing where they just don't explain anything.
Well, they're just taking like Jim Jarmusch says, steal, like taking tropes from other movies, it's a slave mine run by an evil despot, and Kong's the Mad Max or whoever who gets in there is somehow drawn into it because he's attacked by the other apes. And
I keep derailing too, but they had the trailer for Furiosa, and I'm like, man, cinema, it's back, baby.
Yeah, that Uncanny Valley woman playing her.
Oh, Anne Taylor...
Princess Peach,
Anne Taylor.
Oh, is that what...
Something?
She was from... Was she also...
The Chess Lady.
Well, specifically, she was in The Menu, which I think was one of my favorite films for, 2022. It was a really great one.
Oh, so...
I should get that recommendation.
Now it's The Menu.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Getting back to the dumb plot, though, all the characters are grouped together, so we have the podcast guy Bernie, we have Dr. Andrews, we have Gia, and then also a guy that's just thrown in that you know is going to die named Mikkel.
Well, the doctor went to go and get podcast guy specifically because her daughter is having these visions and spasms to draw.
Yeah, the visions are she keeps seeing three teeth or three triangles or something.
And it's big one in the middle, small one.
It's
on
such
a
boring choice for
symbol. She's designing a logo for a Washington State Mall.
It'd be called Three Peaks, establishment, and they'd probably have a really nice California pizza kitchen in there.
They probably have a bunch of just knockoff Twin Peaks stuff. You got Triple R Diner.
Yeah, Triple Peaks sounds like a Simpsons joke or something.
It's a new kind of mall. It's all Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah. They have the evil guy, and it's called Robert instead. Just fun things like that. I looked it up too. It's Anya Taylor-Joy. She has been in everything, it feels like, recently. But I think she is a good actor.
Good for her.
She's for the movie she's not in, for the trailer talk.
She plays Mothra.
She does play Mothra. Did you guys... Okay, once again, we're jumping ahead. Mothra's in this film too. Big surprise. Do you feel like they made Mothra more sexy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they did.
They definitely, those bottom legs on Mothra were kind of human-looking. Very curvy. How else are you going
to
know?
I was
very
curious to think... After seeing this, I'm like... There probably already was, but what sort of fan art would be created from this?
Okay, I'm pulling up Roll 34 right now. We're gonna take a look.
They broke the Mothra tradition of having to have a new Mothra be those disgusting larval state first.
No, it just kind of evaporated.
It just appeared.
Ethereal energy kind of summoned. Is Mothra always a good guy? I've always thought
Mothra's always on the side of good.
Really?
Even in the original Mothra film, it's more of it's the once again taking a bunch of classic story tropes of a bunch of people come in to settle an ancient civilization. They upset the god and awaken it.
Infant island. That was an island.
That was something I was disappointed with. When they started talking Mothra, I was like, okay, this girl definitely has a long lost twin.
They should have done it.
Well, that's kind of they have the headband for being native, but it's also the Peanuts. I think had a headband for the exact same reason.
I should look that up. I think you're right.
The Peanuts.
We talk about the Peanuts a lot.
That's like Charlie Brown, right?
Yeah, Charlie Brown.
It's the stage name for the two idols that were the twins that would summon Mothra in the original Godzilla movies. Mm-hmm. Just didn't want that context lost.
Okay. Mathura, thank you for... I think I appreciate Mathura. It. Mathura Peanuts. Looking that up.
But do love Mathura in this film. I would expect... There's got to be fan art of this, like, just wearing some nice fishnets or something. Yeah.
Or, like, Donkey Kong jacking off with, like, the fish that he... The big serpent. Using that as, like, a fleshlight.
Yeah, you're right. It basically is kind of that. So they did kind of do a throwback.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pulled an image of the Peanuts, and they got kind of, like, a headband thing going on. Good for them. It would have been fun if they made her tiny for no reason, though, too. They were tiny, and they were also this big.
Yeah, they're like
the
They're tiny twins from the Infant Island that are psychically linked to Mothra, and they also sing to a summoner, so everybody's up to speed.
Okay, yeah. Continue.
I just want to make sure. So any more references we make will be tied to that when we make jokes about the Peanuts.
Okay.
We were talking about how all the human characters came together.
Yeah, they all came together. The Irish guy that was like kind of a jerk, you know, was going to die right away.
Oh, yeah.
He's another one of those, like, how the fuck did that guy get cast in this movie? He's not attractive.
Yeah.
And not, like, enough of an asshole to be, like, somebody that you're glad to see get killed.
But he gets...
Except for him throwing kind of, like, a little tantrum right before he dies about, like, I'm in charge, I'm me.
But also that he's the only one who knows how to, like, fly the... You would it makes it seem like... He's the only one who knows how to fly this, like... Because also another thing about these movies, do they explain the, like, jump in technology that humanity gets of, like, the flying, like, hover bee, like, airplane jets and, like, the ability to just, like, summon a big fucking robot Donkey Kong or King Kong arm?
So those are all kind of just brushed away in the previous film.
Okay.
Because there is a company that develops these underground superhighways in order to get technology between, like, Florida and China within a few hours.
Huh, okay.
It's like, almost like we just built a high-speed rail.
Exactly.
So the Monarch Shadow government or whatever they have.
Yeah. Well, that technology was actually made by a different shadowy organization that was also building Mecha Godzilla.
Oh, that's, okay.
That's and the film before that was the one that Charles Dance was the head of. And I keep feeling like they're going to bring him back because he's such a fun actor, but they don't, and that upsets me.
Well, I feel like in this one, other than... the guy who I'm just going to refer to as Podcast in honor of the Ghostbusters character Podcast.
And
he's the only guy that I recognize. Not that I'm like the arbiter of knowing like celebrities, but it's like I don't really know Rebecca Hall from anything. I don't know Trapper.
She's from Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Great Rebecca Hall. Peanuts from Infant Island.
Infant Island
in the Hall
from the show era Godzilla films. They're tiny,
but I feel like he has the biggest star power at Podcasts out of all of them.
Yeah.
And so like to start with like Bryan Cranston and Charles Dance, and like to get to these types of movies where it's like, did this make a lot of money or like?
I feel like it did, even though. Well, no. When I got tickets, nobody was in the theater, but I was surprised that.
But this has been out for a little bit now.
Yeah, this has been out since like late March.
Me and Martin are battling Google to get a price out of this right away for how much.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I was looking up. Little cat beds to look like the Roman Colosseum.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's also a good thing to do.
You know, the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm really thinking this should have just been a King Kong movie.
Godzilla was powering up the whole time. Why was he doing that?
Because they were getting the... they were getting the warning from the Emas.
The Pee Wee Hermans.
Natives that originally lived on Skull Island. Then they all died, except for one. Now they live under... Go ahead.
I do have a reason for why Godzilla is in this film. And it's so you can still pepper through monster fights while all this other stuff is happening.
That's fair.
For better or worse, what I can say of this film, very well paced for an American Godzilla.
Yeah. I mean, he's not really necessary on, like, the main plot, but, like, he does... He, like... Because I would say the you know, all of the stuff, like, the King Kong and the Godzilla, that's what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, like, even if it's not, like, plot important, seeing Godzilla in, like, fucking France, like, absorbing a nuclear power plant there or something, or, like, fighting underwater in the Arctic, like, that stuff, that's just, like, good stuff to include. But then all the human characters are just to bridge the exposition between the plots. And to be like, oh, I understand from you, this indigenous person, I don't know, you don't speak any language, but what you're telling me is that you actually pour this goop into the water, and that's going to make, your technology is gravity.
And so you're going to make a bunch... When the crystals get together, that's when there's no gravity. And that's what you're saying.
Once again, it is amazing stupid guy writing.
Right.
Like, and it's so good.
Right.
Well, and then because they communicate with thoughts that you never hear, we never hear... Because I guess they can only do it with each other.
Do you think, like, the producers...
Yeah, you don't have to write dialogue.
Right.
When the producers heard that, they were like, cha-ching.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, it's like, if you make them speak in any way, it's like, what, are you going to give them an accent? Or, like, are they going to speak English? Or, like, do you have to make up a language? It's just, like, a very clean way to not have to, like...
I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to pay these extras to talk?
Well, I mean, that's really good
shit,
point,
you're
too.
Right.
But yeah, but I think, I mean, that's probably maybe the number one thing. But then also it's like, you're inventing like an indigenous people, like, any way you choose to portray them.
At least have like the main native lady like telepathically communicate with everybody. And
right.
Her
but it's like, but it's like, what's the voice going to sound like? Is it going to be like... a British voice?
I
like,
sound however you want me to sound.
I sound like Miss Swan.
That's
from...
why I might sound British to you.
Or
maybe I sound like I'm from Chicago to you.
That would be
hey. Yeah.
Hey,
let's go have an old style and catch a Cubs game.
I was looking it up and
I gotta go to the Wrigley Factory on Goose Island.
That's where they make the Ferrero chocolates. So good. The Saxon's getting more silly. I was looking up the pricing, I am calling pricing, the box office for the movies, and it was actually really interesting. This made a shit ton of movie, the second in the franchise. This movie made a shit ton of movie money, $485 million.
Yeah, that's totally what you were going to say.
Yeah, no, I fucked it up really bad. I was like, I could save this. It's actually made the second most movie money in the second most movie in the franchise. The first one, which the highest
cryptocurrency movie money.
Yeah, I believe it's box office boffo. The one that's made the most in the franchise, which I was really surprised, I thought it'd be one of the Godzillas, is actually Kong Skull Island.
Oh,
I think that makes sense. I feel like that's probably like the most well regarded in terms of like,
and it's the first one.
Yeah,
so.
it's definitely the
and it has John C. Reilly too,
one. Yeah,
which is also another
acting
power.
Yeah.
That's another...
Adrian Brody, John C. Reilly, and then John Goodman. So, it actually, I mean, does
was,
have, like, a lot of big ones.
Friggin' Loki in that one?
Oh, yeah, he was.
Hiddleston. Oh, yeah. Tom Hiddleston.
Did I just put Adrian Brody in that film, or was he in that film, too?
You're thinking of the Peter Jackson King Kong.
Oh, yeah, they
Adrian
are
Brody and Jack Black.
Yeah, that's Tom Hiddleston, okay.
Yeah,
Jack Black was in that movie.
Because, yeah, this is, like... Skull Island was just, let's just kind of throw away the original movie. It doesn't have to come to New York.
No.
Oh, I mean, shit. Samuel L. Jackson was in that too. Brie Larson. Okay, that's a lot, that is a lot of big names for Kong. I mean, you have that in the fact that like King Kong's such like a universal name for, I think, especially American culture. I almost feel like it is like this like American exceptionalism of like Godzilla's like, that's the foreign one. Kong, uh-huh. Like, Kong's our guy.
Yeah.
That's the one we made. That's our big boy.
So it makes sense to focus him, and I think it also, like, just to have a little more creative liberty, because if it's a mostly Godzilla movie, then it's going to be compared to, like, the standard set out by, like, traditional Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
And this is, like, they're very clearly just doing their own thing and having kind of, like, a Marvel time of it.
I think it's mostly because they did the last one with Godzilla vs. Kong, so they don't feel they can make just a solo one now.
They're a good group together.
They could now. They could do a family film.
Well...
Yeah, it's we've been really kind of, I keep interrupting you with stupid things, but getting back to
that's
the plot.
Not that
we're all
any different.
The plot of this movie doesn't matter.
Yeah, because once again they get all of the characters together. Gia gets Serena.
Well, again,
it
is kind of just Temple of Doom.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly that, and I mean it is kind of that kind of fun tone I think they've captured as well for both that.
Because we haven't talked about the Scar King's whip.
Yeah, it's so
yeah,
cool.
There's a very toyetic thing in this movie.
Yeah.
There's the ship that they go down to Hollow Earth in looks kind of like the Nova ships from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. And also, like, I feel like it is a tradition of the Godzilla films, too, of, like, having cool technology the guys get to use on the ground, you know.
Yeah.
You got your Mogueras later in Godzilla 2000s.
What I was going to say earlier, though, that I just remember that I forgot was... that the big fat kind of bodyguard guy gets killed by the tree right away.
Yeah.
He's like, he kind of, it's not direct, but it kind of makes it seem like, don't touch anything, or, you know, I'll kill, like, don't mess with my ship. like, he's maybe the only one who knows how to, like, operate this technology. Mm-hmm. But then the dentist guy is, like, taking the ship.
It just flies around.
It around, and he knows how to, like, go to the base to get the to fly the big arm attachment on.
Well, that's such a, like, oh, what a coincidence that we're so close to where the robot arm that we built for King Kong.
Those are like the like screenwriting mechanic things where it's like you take a second to like look at that and a lot of this stuff just like breaks down. But like for the sake of moving the movie along and just like getting like we want King Kong to have the big robot arm. We want like
in veterinarian school takes 8 years because there's 6 years of learning how to fly that fucking ship.
Mechanics.
I wish the arm could have like done some more cool stuff.
Maybe it's like a Mega Man Buster gun.
Other than flaring a couple of times, it didn't really do anything cool.
I wanted him to pull a sword out of it like Proto Man.
Yeah, that'd have been really cool. There's a lot they could have done with it, but essentially he has a robot arm and that's cool. I mean, that's all you need.
It's like Shatterhand.
Yeah. Also, I just looking at how dirty they did Mikhail, the one guy who got killed. The thing he got killed by doesn't even have a name. They just call it a tree mimic.
Like, yeah, you don't get a good look at it, which you usually do in a scene like that. Like, you get killed by some strange thing in the jungle. The thing walks away.
Or you kill it, or you run away from it. But they just, I guess they run away like a second, but then that's all. That's all that.
Yeah. I mean, he was the only one to take a gun.
It's like they've seen that scene in other movies, so they had to just shove it in there somewhere. Yeah.
We need to raise stakes for these characters while also cutting down the characters we're going to focus on.
Which already wasn't a lot, but once again, I think it's a good decision because...
Oh, it benefits the film greatly.
Yeah, and we get a lot of scenes with just the Monster Zoo and stuff, and that's always, I think, fun. I'm glad they did that.
They do such a good job of making Kong like a moat.
Yeah.
Oh, there are so many times when he's just kind of being like, just gives like a little like stinky sad face.
Yeah, I like that they really got the fact that he's depressed and like he's working through it. You know, he's working out more. He's taking his medication, which again is just bananas, but you know, it's important.
He's been going on a lot of interesting websites. I found that maybe shouldn't be.
Yeah, they don't help. I mean, going on to Blue Sky for Apes or Twitter for Apes. And you see the worst things. Reddit for Apes is also pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm glad they let big apes on there too that are bigger than regular apes on all these social media sites for apes. Yeah. By apes. Sorry.
Yeah. Keep them separate though. But equal.
Yeah. That's
I was thinking maybe them passing the stones back and forth is like. They're doing very simple logic gates to make like. They're doing a big typewriter so that they can try to make Shakespeare.
They're smart apes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun, stupid scenes in this film. But we get to Scar King finds out their situation. And the stupid plot lines of this film is that Scar King has Shimo, which started the Ice Age. The only thing we know is he wants to get back to the surface.
Is that what they say? He started the Ice Age?
Yes, with Shimo. That kaiju started the Ice Age. They were cast down into this fiery pit after they fought Godzilla, who is known as the Star Eater?
Yeah.
Wait,
so he was cast down under the earth by God?
Godzilla.
So the same
kind of a Lucifer.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Hollow Earth is maybe kind of the Garden of Eden.
Yeah. Oh. Godzilla, Lucifer, Scar King.
Judas Priest.
Great band. So that's like all we get, but once again, that's all we need, I feel like. And once again, he has a quip, he has Shimo, which is pretty cool.
He has a bunch of bald, ugly underlings.
Yeah, that are stupid and you're
supposed to hate. A bunch of Homer Simpson apes.
And I guess, once again, the stakes of the film is he finds out where this ancient civilization that G is from is. I guess he needs to get there so he can get back up to the Earth.
To the portal.
Yeah. Which, of course, everything comes together. Gia unleashes Mothra again.
Oh, yeah. And the natives are being kept safe by, like, a giant, like, space nutsack.
Yeah, like
made by Mothra.
A big silk... if that thing was made by Mothra, maybe I wouldn't mind getting stuck in it.
Yeah.
It's like a big electromagnetic cocoon. I don't know what protection it offers, but it's like, they can't see us.
Yeah, it's like, it's just there to be like, oh, that's why you didn't find us before, because we were behind this stuff.
It seems kind of like overkill.
It doesn't seem to be very protective, because they rip it open with their hands.
Yeah.
Like, literally, if the ape scout party was going through, they could just walk there by accident and go through it, and they'd find it.
And yeah, it doesn't look like...
Well, it was kind of tucked away. It was like higher up and not... Maybe you'd miss it if you weren't...
Okay, you know what? It probably does work pretty well. We don't got to be so hard on Mothra and what she's doing.
Oh, man. All the people who live under there must have like such a vitamin C deficiency.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I was wondering that. The first time that they do a lot of shots to let you know you're in Hollow Earth where it's like... The camera is showing like upside down land and then it pans down to show regular land.
Sometimes they do it a little too much.
But I'm like, when they show like the horizon and like light shining, I'm like, where's the light coming from?
I just realized
like,
that.
There's
just,
no sun down there.
I don't think they ever explain that.
Well, I think there was like a couple of shots of like crystals coming through that maybe like radiate light, but that's definitely giving them more than...
I feel like that might have been a line from the last one where they just like, yeah, it's from the crystals.
It works, trust us.
Don't think about it.
Yeah. From the sunstones.
But yeah, some of the camera work was a little like, oh my god, like I know with the computer you can make them do whatever now, but it's like, slow down a little bit, maybe not so twist and turn, like... When was it Rio de Janeiro? Yeah, because there's you saw
that's where the final game fight is.
Yeah,
but as they're freezing the wave and they're like the camera's like curling with the wave as it like tunnels, and that was just like, oh, I'm starting to get a little sick.
They do the whole like close up in slow motion for like kill shots you get in like the Fallout series too often too, which is kind of annoying. Which is kind of cool though, but yeah, it gets annoying after a while. But yeah, once again, just moving the plot around, Scar King finds out where they are. He wants to get back to the surface. Mothra's reborn because of whatever. Scar King eventually gets back to the surface. They all team up to fight him and Shimo. And the whole fight is pretty... It's radical.
Zuko gets to really get neat. The final blow against the crystal that somehow controls Shimo.
He always the Scar King is like... He controls the ancient... Titan, the ice turtle guy.
Keeping it at the end of his whip might not have been the best idea.
Yeah, it was a cool move.
But I guess
for, like,
he doesn't
slashing.
Have pockets.
It's so aesthetically cool.
Yeah. But then he'd always like hold it like a little like pen or a wand, being
to be like, dude.
And then the turtle would be like, no, I don't want to. And then he'd be like, well, I have the crystal. And then it would do it.
The crystal's there.
Yeah.
I'll put some more effort in than they did. I'm going to say that skeleton whip came from that thing's, like, I don't know. Some of the monsters have, like, partnerships. Like, Godzilla and Mothra are king and queen of the monsters, respectively. I'm going to say that the Ice Kaiju had, like, I don't know, a brother or something, and he killed it, and he took its spine, and that's why it has the power whip or whatever.
Yeah, like...
That's more effort than they put into it.
Yeah, I think that's just a little bit more effort than what they
just anything to give any explanation for what the fuck that crystal is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Spine Whip is cool though.
Spine Whip is really cool.
And he wears like a bandolier too.
Yeah, which is really and he also stole Kong's axe from the last movie and was being pretty mean with that. So it feels once again he's a new character. Not really a suitable matchup for the two, but at least he's fun.
It's just a giant ape who's really not bigger than King Kong.
They should have made him really big.
They should have.
Yeah. Somebody who's like an actual forbidden. They made him more, I think they went for like him to move differently than Kong did, because he's very lanky and he can like just jump around and
they
stuff.
They should have given him like a grape pea shooter.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
And made him a kind of a clown.
Should have given him a slingshot.
Yeah.
Should have made him the Joker.
we're getting there. And he, once again, he was pretty twisted. Like, he's, when they showed his whole slave organization he has, where either they're making a giant typewriter or digging for bananas.
That's something the Joker would do.
And also, like, when Zuko comes back, he's going to, like, punish him, and one of the apes stands up for him, so he, like, kicks him into the lava. So, yeah, he's a pretty mean dude.
Oh, I do like when King Kong first gets jumped by the bad apes. He saves the one ape from falling down the cliff, and then the other ape like immediately tries to attack him with his bone knife, and he just kicks him off that same cliff.
Which I like. They make him empathetic, but
he's
reasonable.
It reminds you that he's the king for a reason. He's harsh but fair.
It does establish he's a King Kong with a heart, but he don't play that shit.
Right. Yeah. Much like a little clown I like named Homie. I guess I'm making these bad references.
there was other preview for the other Planet of the Apes movie, and I think that would be a fun crossover of King Kong with the Planet of the Apes, because there'd be a bunch of little tiny King Kongs, and then one big one.
Yeah.
Another thing though is they didn't show What was the name? What's the name of the little baby King Kong?
Zuko.
Zuko. They never showed him how big he is, relate like proportionally to a human, which I was curious about. And I'm like, it's probably a good idea because I feel like it would maybe be a little weird to see like a little big giant baby.
They probably didn't want to have to worry about that throughout throughout the movie. That's why
he's pretty big because
he is very big
in some of those first like wide shots where you see him interacting with Kong. You do see him like in perspective to trees,
right?
And he's pretty fucking big compared to those
guys. Right, right.
I think it's just like lazy guy was working on the script and realized like, okay, we don't have to speak a language, we don't have to pay extras, and if we don't put him ever next to the humans, we don't have to worry about size comparisons or logic being put into place anywhere for him. So
that's good. Props to them. Good props to them indeed.
Zuko is an X amount of size, which I really like. Also, when we're getting back to just getting through the plot and getting to the final fight, Zuko sees him go in the portal, but, like, jumps in after them with the axe. So, like, in the back.
The axe gets stuck, which, like, that was kind of like, it only gets stuck because Kong kind of, like, intentionally leaves it in the portal.
Or it seems like he's, like, trying to not go through the portal, but he jumps into it.
He needs
it
to fight the dude. So yeah. It is.
I love in the theater we watched this. As soon as he got the axe back, someone behind us was cheering. And then he loses it 20 seconds later.
He should just be like, no, I like that axe. But yeah, Zuko comes up and destroys the crystal while they're having the big fight, so Shimo's back in control. I like that they don't have like a fake out or like, oh, he'll have the upper hand. At this point, Scar King's just fucked. Like, he's they don't even like give him a chance, like, oh, he'll be able to handle himself. Like, Kong holds him up with like the cyber gauntlet, and then Shimo just like cooks him into ice, and then they basically, like you said, give him a fatality from Mortal Kombat.
100% Sub-Zero in there. Fucking, oh god, King Kong playing Mortal Kombat would be so funny. Should be like, I did that.
Which it really should have been like a cross tech with Godzilla, how they ended up, like all three of them.
Oh, absolutely.
They let Kong shine a little bit more in this film, and I like that.
Oh, yeah, again, it's basically Kong's movie.
Yeah.
I thought that he was going to hold him up, and then the old dinosaur and Godzilla were going to blast him at the same time.
That would have been cool. I was hoping.
Because, like, do we get. Because, like, the whole Godzilla plot is he's charging up, and he gets, like, a purple beam now. But it's like, does he do, like. They don't really say why he's charging up, and like, does he do anything special with the charge that's better than just
destroys the pyramids of Giza?
Yeah, so this film takes place in I think they said it was October, so that is Breast Cancer Awareness Godzilla.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Okay, well that would make sense.
This one's for the ladies. Well, I mean, guys can get breast cancer too. I shouldn't say like that.
Yeah, we did go past it, but I fucking did love Kong and Godzilla's first fight at the pyramids.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Kong's like, no, wait.
Yeah,
no.
It is just the emoting that the computer graphics are able to do now, because you're like, whoa, wait, come on, calm down.
I was trying to get your attention, I wasn't trying to throw down right now.
And yeah, it's also, you can't get Godzilla's face to emote in the same way, at least not the way that this Godzilla is designed.
And I like that they decided he's just a big cat, so don't worry about it, he's cute, he sleeps in the Colosseum, it's fine, don't think about it too much.
Like Godzilla just wants to be the strongest.
Yeah.
There's, King Kong is kind of like needs. The Hulk.
He has social needs, but I like that once again, he's empathetic, but also if you punch him, he will just punch you back. Yeah. So that's nice. That's good. So I think we should get to rating this film. That's basically the whole plot.
Yeah. The one last thing I want to say is the music. I don't like when these blockbusters, like, there's a thing with, like, bigger movies where they choose a song, and granted, these songs aren't, like, the biggest hits. But I always feel like whenever they pick a song with like lyrics that's like kind of a famous song, that I always feel like the movie's like, look at how clever we are, like look at how cool our music is that we choose for this.
They were very song cues were very like, oh, this is an old song that people like. Let's
this is
put
pretty
it in
cool.
There. Yeah, we
yeah,
can
like,
put it on
why,
the soundtrack.
Why am I hearing a Kiss song during this? Come on.
But they did like a split of like those old kind of retro, and I don't know if that's just like. Because, like, Kong Skull Island is, like, isn't that supposed to be kind of like a
Well, the first
movie
one
too?
You get is when Tapper first shows up, right?
Yes.
When when you got to remove the
Well, it opens with a song as it's, like, the copters are going across Hollow Earth, I think. Oh. It opens with just, like, some kind of, like, old rock song. But they do half, like, these old retro songs and then half, like, synthwave stuff. Mm-hmm. Which I liked it when they did the synthwave.
Yeah, some of the stuff sounded kind of like Tangerine Dream. But yeah, the song cues were like, I mean, I like Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
A good one. I like Kiss.
Yeah.
And the other one, which was it, Styx?
Oh, I think it was
the other one.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
yeah, the Sticks is fun, you know? But also they do show at the very end with all the characters reunited that Gia decides to go back with her adopted mom. This is a sweet mom. It's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And I like that they don't, they know you don't care about the human characters, so they tie that off and they instantly go back to, like, this is what the monsters are doing. We're out of here.
Godzilla Bye. Falls asleep back in the Colosseum. Yeah. And Kong is back in Lava Land.
He goes and liberates hell.
He has a son, and he has a big new pet. And
they should have shown like one ape with like just massive titties that Kong like looks at and winks at,
and big long eyelashes.
Yeah, and then she winks back at.
They're pink.
And then she kicks a stone over, and there's a bunch of bananas.
They're wearing a skirt.
Oh man,
it has to wear the skirt, otherwise you'd be able to see the ape vagina.
But I'm glad they didn't do that.
King Kong didn't have nipples.
Yeah, he should have had nipples.
God, it'd be a perfect movie if he had nipples.
Yeah, which is why I'm gonna give this 4.5 out of 5. Well, I guess let's just get to the reviews.
Well, I'm sorry, I do have one other thing that I thought they were going to tie up at the end, but they didn't. One of the monsters Godzilla kills was like hoarding
energy.
They were able to get a lot of energy because where they were on the South Pole, they were like getting the maximum amount of like the sun's
rays. Like an interception of sunspots or something. Yeah. Some stupid bullshit.
Either way, Godzilla at some point goes there, kills the fuck out of that monster, and then takes all the energy out of there. I thought they were setting up like, oh, this ice palace is just completely vacant now. You can move in there, ice friend.
Yeah.
They should have done that.
But he just comes back to hell.
I mean, for the next film, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be the most sentient creature. It seems to act more like a dog than
it does
a Godzilla or a King Kong do.
It seems happy that they just took the shock collar away.
Yeah. I mean, that's understandable.
And Kong does scratch it under the neck, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
Maybe he fell in love with him, or her instead. Ashimo is a girl.
You did say they are married now.
Yeah, they are married. But I mean, if there's a guy they could get married to, I'm not old school in my racist thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know how racist and sexist too somehow. Yeah, they could be married. Anyways, I feel like for reviews, we'll do a 5 out of 5. Just Kongs. It's late. I don't want to think too hard. It's 5 out of 5 Kongs. Okay, Godzilla should be there too, though.
5 out of 5 robot fingers.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah, how many fingers on the robot fist?
On the robot fist. I guess it'd be. I'm going to give this a very solid 4.5 out of 5. No, that's too much. Okay, 4 fingers up. I want to say I'm going really high. I'm really torn between a 4.5 and a 4. It's not perfect, but God, it was so stupid. It was so fun, and I feel like we've complained about this because we have reviewed the other two before this, where they're just kind of stupid but not enough, and they finally got the threshold where they got so stupid they become really fun. So you know what? I'm going 4.5 out of 5, which means like.
The thumb is sort of twitching.
Yeah, thumb twitching. So it's like kind of like, as the listeners at home can see, it's like that. Just really fun. Once again, stupid guy logic works wonders in this film where they over-explain it to you. At the same time, they don't explain things they don't want to take too much time out of the film for. And you're just like watching all these creatures beat each other up. The fights are really fun. You're going to have a good time. People get gooped a lot in it. And creatures, I should say, not the people.
I do.
I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It's a fun movie. They definitely took it to heart because I would have preferred the last one more if it had been sillier. But at the same time, they got this one sillier. It still feels like the story could have been better. I don't mind that King Kong's whole thing was just Temple of Doom. I actually like that about it, but yeah. I thought they could have integrated the Godzilla stuff better and maybe had the humans. What I really wanted this movie to do is be like, my favorite Godzilla movie, which I think I remember the name right, is Destroy All Monsters. It's the one where like the human involvement is basically like it's a nature documentary almost.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like the parts when like the submarine was just following Godzilla, describing like, oh, he's going to fight this monster.
And,
like,
so
that's
cool.
Just color commentary so cool. Watch on this. It. Yeah.
That would be.
But having the humans have to be involved in the story to such a degree, and like you said, when they had the adopted daughter decide to go back with her adopted mother, like, I don't fucking give a shit. Like, I don't care about, I don't like these characters that much. And Tapper scratches a weird itch because, like, it is a very 90s sort of cool guy, scientist, Sahara, Matthew McConaughey and Sahara sort of character.
He's charming without any baggage, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I gotta break from both of you. I want to give this film a full 5 out of 5.
Damn. Wow. Whoa, shit.
I feel like we are in a great era where both Japanese Godzilla movies and American Godzilla movies are both peak at what they do best.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus One was such a thoughtfully made, like, good film. And this is such fucking garbage that I just enjoy so much. And again, they pared down the human characters' involvement. There aren't 80 fucking human characters who are all doing different things.
Yeah.
I, like, nothing against Millie Bobby Brown, but I'm so glad she wasn't fucking in this.
Yeah.
She needs a break.
She does. She's busy filming the last season of Stranger Things still, right?
Yeah, I think that's just going to be going until 2037 at this point, it feels like.
Either way, just big fucking fan of this movie. I cannot wait to watch it again. It's so much fun and so stupid. All those fight scenes are so good.
It is perfect slop. I will definitely defend that for sure for this film.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give this a 4. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Martin, that this is, like, just such a fun popcorn movie. Just, like, turn your brain off and just, like, look at the big monkey and the big lizard and their how they're doing. It's very colorful. It's very fun. I do recommend if you have a little... I'm not endorsing wherever you live, if the, you know, weed's legal or whatever. Maybe do that. That could heighten the experience a little bit. I'm not saying you should do this, but I'm just saying that some people might say that. Mm. And I think, this is just fun, brainless fun. It's not perfect. There are definitely some problems, like, you know, obviously it's expositional, and I think you can do some of these imperfect things, and it does those things, like, okay, but it's like, you could still improve by maybe just, like, streamlining some more of the human stuff, or, like, Get them a little more out of the way with, like, I want more Kong. I want more I want more Zilla. I want more, like, fighting destruction. They give you a good amount of that, but yeah, it was a fun time.
Hell yeah.
I think they're getting close to that too, what you're saying. Like, this film, they're like, okay, well, the Dr. Andrews is the Kong doctor.
Yeah.
Like, it should just be like, this character worked with Godzilla, and they're just there to be like, I hope he's doing all right. And that's as simple as that. Like,
they should give... I was thinking they should make Kong a doctor. They should give him, like, a doctor. Yeah. He just gets the little soup can lid.
It could be a giant satellite dish instead.
A little clipboard.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Or give him, like, an iPad.
Yeah. That would be really
good. So he can, like, speak and stuff, too.
Yeah.
And he can press the hamburger button.
He's constantly pressing hamburger and horny. Yeah. Hamburger, horny,
we taught
horny,
King
horny.
Kong how to use this so he can speak with us. We want to speak to Kong. Hamburger.
Oh, man, it's getting light where I want to see this film. Luke's not interested in this concept at all either.
Huh? I'm just kind of spacing out.
Okay, well, we're at the end. I'm going to do a game and they'll get recommendations. But
this is classic Podzuki right here.
Yeah. Well, at least we're recording at 5 a.m. though, so that's... Which we always talk about that episode so many times.
Love you, Jason, wherever you are.
Yeah. He's probably late, so... I pulled up a good old Ron Canada. We like to do... We're going to stupid game section. Quit
playing stupid games.
My eyes hurt, I just realized right now, so we definitely need to finish soon. But we like to do a little game called Who the Fuck is Ron Canada? He's a bit part actor, full-time working actor with over almost 300 roles now. We saw him in a film called Honey, I Blew Up the Kid many years ago doing this podcast, and we really found him charming. He's famously the judge in Ted 2, if that helps, like, picture who it is.
I haven't seen any Teds.
Oh, man. Great film.
Can I look him up?
Have you seen the commercials? That's the only reason I know what he looks like. Because he's in the commercial for Ted 2.
Aren't they doing a Ted prequel series?
Yeah. Oh, that's already out there.
It's already on.
Is that, have you guys seen that?
No.
Ron Canada?
I do still watch Family Guy, though. Mm. Like, I'm still with Seth MacFarlane.
Hey, I still watch
watching that thing. Gasp for air.
I still watch American Dad.
American Dad's still good.
Yeah.
I think this last season is one of the best ones they've ever done.
Hell yeah, it is.
I mean, it's like, American Dad's kind of like one of those shows like Bob's Burgers where you just get a good crew, and even if people aren't watching it, it gets enough ratings, and, like, they keep making good stuff.
Mm. Oh, Ron Canada from The Human Stain?
Yeah, that's the
one. Where he played Herb Kebble?
Yes. That's the very man.
That's him.
So, very same. Since he has such a huge catalog, we like to ask a series of questions that I have everybody participate, other than myself, since I know the answers, and I'll score you. But the first thing I'm going to ask you is a true or false question about Ron Canada. He's had so many roles. Has he been involved in any Marvel Cinematic Universe productions?
True.
True? What do you think?
True. I'm going to go...
I'm going to say false, just because of real history.
Okay, both Martin and Ian get a point off the bat.
Yes!
Yes!
Okay, here I'm going to ask you.
What was he in?
We're getting there, don't worry. This is part of the questions. I put this one together very fast. Has this been one of the... Has he been in one of the movies, or has he been in one of the films, or neither?
Wait, one of the movies, one of the films.
Yeah, TV show. Sorry, it's late.
I'm going to say...
10:57.
I'm going to say TV show.
Okay.
It wouldn't make sense if I said neither, because we know he's been in some Marvel property.
Right.
Maybe he's been drawn in a Marvel comic book.
I'm going to say... TV show.
TV show. What do you think?
I'm going to say TV because I'm assuming it's probably... You might be talking about a pre-Marvel Studios Marvel
Maybe
property.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or even like a background character in like WandaVision.
It could be something like that. But anyway, TV.
Okay, TV. No, you're all wrong. He's in a podcast.
What?
A Marvel podcast?
A Marvel Cinematic Universe official podcast. And I'm going to ask you... Which one is it? Was it a Spider-Man one? Was it a Hawkeye one? Or was it a Fantastic Four?
Wait, what?
I'm going to say Spider-Man.
I'm going to say Fantastic Four.
Okay.
I'm also going to say Spider-Man.
Okay, you're all wrong. It was a Hawkeye one.
Okay.
It sucks. It sucks what they did. They didn't put him in a movie or a TV show, and they put him in a podcast about Hawkeye?
Is the podcast in the cinematic universe?
It is in the cinematic universe. Marvel's Wastelanders Hawkeye podcast series from 2021.
Oh, so it's like one of those podcasts that's like a narrative.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a podcast. I think about some comedians who just sit around and talk about whatever the hell they really want.
It's an audio drama.
Okay, yeah, that's a difference.
Yeah, it's,
that's more like a book on tape than a
but
a
still,
podcast.
It's still listed as a podcast though. Podcast series on IMDb.
Well, that's just because words don't mean anything.
Who does
anymore.
He play?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me look that up.
I'm gonna say Kingpin.
Give him a good Marvel character if you got Ron Canada on this.
Plays Herb Kebble from The Human Stain.
He plays Abner Jenkins. What did you do to my boy? Nobody knows who Abner Jenkins is. I'm looking at. Is this even a character that you'd find in the Marvel universe? Okay, Abner Jenkins. By the way, Ian wins because I don't know how I'm scoring that.
Yo!
Great job, Ian.
Thank you.
I think you did get the most right, though.
I'm going to say he was like Uncle Ben's.
Oh, Abner Jenkins is a character known as the Beetle.
Not even the Blue Beetle?
Beetle. Yeah, he's got some cool suit stuff going on. Good for him. All right, Ian wins big. We'll get to the good old recommendations and plugs. Because we're just doing them all together because it's late. We got to get everybody home. I'm so tired.
I don't have any plugs. I recommend American Dad.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You know what? I could jump in here. I'm going to plug, as always, we're doing that Thirst for Adventure, which is the live play D&D show where we have Chicago comedians, artists, and just people we love playing D&D characters for a one-shot every second Wednesday at Lincoln Lodge. It's a good show. Go check it out. For my recommendation, just go play Balatro. It's a deck builder game.
Oh, I just downloaded that.
It's so fucking good. Nice. If you've ever played something like Slay the Spire, it's very similar. Uh-huh. But instead you have a deck of cards, like a traditional 52 playing cards, and you get different gestures that have different effects. And each round you have to have an ante of different coins you gotta make. But the effects and the jokers you can get as you play can do so many weird fucking different things. It's addicting. It's really good.
Uh-huh.
I'm tired.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I got no plugs. I'll recommend... I had something. Mario Kart. I don't care.
Mario Kart.
Very cool.
Yeah, I like Mario Kart. Anyways, Ian.
Oh, I don't really have too many plugs. I don't have any shows coming up, but if you see me on a show in Chicago,
you should do it.
Come check it out. I'm online somewhere. You can find me there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, just freaking...
I mean, I'm going to give a high recommendation because I think one of my favorite
comedy sets I've seen was when you were doing the Comedy Culture Club show, which I forgot the full name of. But you're doing a high schooler talking about how cool The Matrix is, and that made me laugh really, really hard whenever I think about it still. That was a really good one.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you have any recommendations? It doesn't even have to be like media or a book. You can recommend like a feeling or
a thing you like to do. I recommend... it's getting nice out. I recommend just going outside and as you get older, you get trapped inside more. And if you have the time, just go, even just sitting outside. Sounds good for you.
Sounds really good for you. I mean, once again, if you get trapped in the hollow earth and you're in a cocoon that blocks it, you're going to find out. That
crystal.
Oh, yeah. You're going to find out how much you need that sun.
Stand next to some crystals.
Yeah. Man, those crystals are cool. Well, anyways, I feel like we should do our good old sign off.
Oh, yeah.
Three, two, one.
You're gonna like the way I fuck. I guarantee it.
podcasting, man.
Yeah, you know? I think we're too good at it now.
I think we know it.
So,
all right, it's been great.
We regret that you have not yet complied with our order.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
The words get stuck in my throat.